Listen. Listen to silence. Listen to the wind. Listen to the stars. Hear trees. Dance. Dance to the beat of your neighbor's heart. Dance to the rhythm of your childhood dreams. Sing. Sing and hum a wordless song to the tune of your rushing blood. And pray. Pray with a fever that makes you sweat through February snow. Pray with a fervor that gives you chills in July. Shout your prayer like a howl. Howl to the sound of your soul touching the clouds and haunts the moon. Come, let us howl our hallelujahs. Come, let us pray and sing and celebrate. Come, let us worship together. These opening words by Jessica Purple Rodella welcome all those who have gathered this morning for our Sunday service. Welcome to those of you who are here in the church, and also to all of you who are joining us via Zoom from far and wide. We are all one community, however we join. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Janine Powell, and as of this morning, I am Community Development Coordinator with Kensington Unitarians. And of course, we have a new chair, Liz Tuckwell. Thank you very much for stepping into that role. This morning is on the theme of listening to trees. This theme was chosen by our guest preacher, the Reverend Stephanie Bisbee, who is minister with York and Bradford Unitarians. She's offered a quote by Frank Herbert to introduce her theme. And Herbert writes, "A good ruler has to learn his world's language, that it's different for every world. The language of the rocks and growing things, the language you don't hear just with your ears." Stephanie will be sharing her thoughts via video later, and her video was recorded and service topic chosen before the news about the sycamore gap being cut down through vandalism this week. But perhaps that sad act will give us all the more reason to honour trees in this week's service. So let's take a moment before we go any further to settle ourselves, to arrive and prepare for worship. We each have chosen to take some time out of the everyday things that we do. So let's take a conscious breath. And another. And with each exhalation, let's visualize a letting go, a setting aside of anything we've come in carrying, and we can pick it up later if we need to. But for now, let's bring our whole selves to the here and now as we consecrate this hour with our presence and intention. So let's light our chalice flame now, as we do each week. This simple ritual connects us in solidarity with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over, and reminds us of the proud and historic progressive religious tradition of which we are part. We kindle the chalice in joy. We awaken to the sun's glory of light, praising you in the morning. You are the blue dome above and the limitless sky beyond. You are the warmth that embraces Mother Earth, the rain that quenches her thirst and gives renewal of life to her children. You are the brightness of sunlit leaves, the shade under a cool canopy of trees, the congregation of great rocks, strength-giving, among which we stand steadfast. You are the stillness in the mountain, the corresponding stillness in us, which is deeper than all stirrings of self. You are the mesas and cliffs from which birds dart down and sing. You are the wings, the singer and the song. You are the listening world. Your signature is the beauty of things. Let's sing together now. Our first hymn is number 147, not 148 that's printed in your order of service. It's in the purple book. Spirit of Earth, Root, Stone and Tree. For those joining via Zoom, the words will be up on your screen to sing along at home if you wish. Feel free to stand or sit as you prefer as we sing hymn number 147. And let's take those joys and concerns into an extended time of prayer now. This prayer is partly based on some words by the Reverend Stephanie Bisbee. And first, you might want to adjust your position for comfort and close your eyes or soften your gaze. And there might be a posture that helps you to feel more prayerful. Whatever works for you. Do whatever you need to do to get into the right state of body and mind for us to pray together, to be fully present in this sacred time and space, with ourselves, with each other, and with that which is both within and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being, we turn our full attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune into the depths of this life and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are all intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and stillness at the very center of our being. When I think of the power and the beauty that are in the trees and the forests, the mountains and the seas, I am humbled by their vastness and complexity. My spirit bows to the eternal creative spirit which flows through the living universe. My external wish for each of us is that the power that is creation, that is life, that is love, will endow us with all the resources of nature and science and empower us with all the inner resources we need to thrive, to be joyful and confident, and to protect those we care for and this planet which nurtures us. Then everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes, will live in us, in our hearts and minds, as we trust in the spirit of life. Our roots will grow down into the love of this beautiful earth and keep us strong. May we have the power to understand, as all living beings at some level are aware, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of the spirit of life for all its creation, and how blessed or privileged we are to exist in this time and this place. May we remember that every shadow we seemingly see only exists because there is a light which stands beyond it. May we know that the light of the sun and the warmth of the day and the darkness of the night are all necessary for the growth of each living organism. And may we both bow to the greater power that surrounds us and stand tall in our knowledge that we too are creators of our own lives and surroundings, and in us lives all power and hope for our lives and the life of the spirit. And in a good few moments of shared silence now, may we speak inwardly the deepest prayers of our hearts. Maybe something in our own life or the life of the world is weighing heavy on us. Maybe we are feeling full of gratitude despite it all and feel moved to give thanks for our blessings. Let us each lift up whatever is in our heart today and ask for what we most need. Spirit of life, God of all love. As this time of prayer and reflection comes to a close, we offer up our joys and concerns, our hopes and fears, our beauty and our brokenness. And we call on you for insight, healing, and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice, and peace. Amen. Let's sing again. Our next hymn is a lovely one. It's number 21 in your hymn books. Come and find the quiet centre. The words will be on the screen as usual. Feel free to sit and stand, or stand as you prefer. Hymn number 21.
Our reading today is taken from Sabbath by Nicholas Lee. Sabbath, as a principle of cessation, restraint, and the honouring of the rhythms of the natural world, has much to say to a world on the brink of climate catastrophe. The call of the woods is not least a call to urban humans who have forgotten their roots in nature to leave the bright city lights, if only for a few hours or a few days, and to renew their covenant with the woods, the fields, the rivers, the moors and lakes, at the same time as to immerse in the natural cycles of daylight and darkness, night and day, which are blurred and erased in the city. Such an invitation is not only for rest and relaxation, though it most certainly includes these, but more profoundly, for a renewal of our connection to the originating sources of nature and the cyclical rhythms of the seasons. Withdrawing for a time, however brief, into the wild spaces that still exist, offers a reprieve from this fast-paced, furious urban living. To respond to the invitation into the woods is to offer ourselves an opportunity to gaze on beauty and decay. The two go together, not to be parted. To stretch our cramped and stressed bodies in revivifying exercise. To rest in the deep darkness of the countryside. And to see beyond the horizons of a man-made environment into a sky studded with light from planets thousands of light years away. Such stepping aside into the space of the woods not only rests and restores our bodies, but renews and revitalizes our minds and reminds us that it is possible to live at a different pace and in touch with wider, more elemental horizons than those by which we are habitually enclosed. Our brains are permitted to slow down and stop. Our imaginations are cleansed and renewed. At the same time, our profound connectedness to the natural world and our ethical responsibility to care for it are rewoken in us. Thus, the invitation into the woods is not only an invitation to renew and refresh the jaded human. It is a very real invitation to renew and repair the desperately damaged fabric of the creation itself, crying out for healing. To refuse the invitation to honour Sabbath is to refuse our own renewal, but also that of the entire created order of which we humans are a small, though potentially catastrophic, part. To put this more positively, the invitation into the woods is an invitation to renew our covenant with ourselves, with the natural world, with our fellow creatures, and with God. So writes Nicholas Lee in Sabbath.
We're moving into a time of meditation now. I'm going to share a well-known poem by Wandle Berry, I Go Among Trees, which will take us into about 3 minutes of silence, which will end with the sound of our bell. Then we'll hear some lovely music from Sydney and Peter to continue the meditative mood. So let's each do what we need to do to get comfortable. Adjust your position if you need to. Maybe put your feet flat on the floor to ground yourself. Close your eyes or soften your gaze. Maybe put down anything you don't need at this time. And as always, we say that the words and the music are just an offering. Feel free to use this time to meditate in your own way. I go among trees and sit still. All my stirrings become quiet around me, like circles on water. My tasks lie in their places, where I left them, asleep like cattle. Then what is afraid of me comes and lives a while in my sight. What it fears in me leaves me, and the fear of me leaves it. It sings, and I hear its song. Then what I am afraid of comes. I live for a while in its sight. What I fear in it leaves it, and the fear of it leaves me. It sings, and I hear its song. After days of labor, mute in my consternations. I hear my song at last, and I sing it. As we sing, the day turns, the trees move.
We opened today with words by Frank Herbert. A good ruler has to learn his world's language, that it's different for every world. The language of the rocks and growing things. The language you don't hear just with your ears. They are, of course, from the cult science fiction novel Dune, a book often said to have been inspired by magic mushrooms. It's also partly inspired, though this is perhaps less often talked about, by the writings of various mystics, most prominently the Sufi mystics. Dune is a strange book, which once read gets under your skin, at least it did mine, as well as that of several filmmakers. Is anyone else gutted that the second instalment of Denis Villeneuve's brilliant adaptation is delayed? Maybe it's just me. But there's so much to think about in Dune. There is a powerful mantra. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. Then there is wisdom about society. Just as individuals are born, mature, breed, and die, so do societies and civilizations and governments. Then there is truth about power. The person who experiences greatness must have a feeling for the myth he is in. And of course, there is that strange and beautiful and just possibly psychedelic-induced hymn to nature, the language of the rocks and growing things, the language you don't hear just with your ears. Well, you could argue that most of us don't need to know this. After all, most of us are not rulers. At least, we're certainly not rulers of a planet or a kingdom or anything else that the rest of the world would recognise as requiring rule. Some of us, of course, do have an obvious leadership role in our church community or our workplace or some other organisation that requires us to be sensitive to the nuances of the world around us. Although, of course, many of us, much of the time, are surrounded by a world more human-made than natural. So, do we really need to listen to rocks and trees and growing things? What can we discover by paying attention to trees or tulips or tomatoes? For me, Frank Herbert's beautiful words echo the mystical gospel of Thomas. Split wood, I am there. Lift up a rock, you will find me there. Jacob Trapp, too, finds God or spirit or the eternal life force in the warmth of the sun, the brightness of sunlit leaves, the shade under a cool canopy of trees, and the congregation of great rocks, strength-giving, among which we stand steadfast. Wood and stone are the things we turn to as a reminder of permanence. Rocks may win as a symbol of the eternal, but trees run a close second. The world's oldest known living tree, a bristlecone pine in California, nicknamed Methuselah, is thought to be at least 4,600 years old, about as old as the first pyramids. There's probably nothing in Kensington quite that age, but there is Forest School at Holland Park, and of course the lovely tree avenues in Kensington Gardens go back to the 18th century. Even in the heart of London, it's possible to sit and listen to the wind whispering through the trees as it has for centuries. And if you're anything like me, there's something very, very comforting about that sound, especially when it mingles with birdsong and other sounds of nature. As the wonderful poet Wendell Berry describes it, I go among trees and sit still. All my stirring becomes quiet around me, like circles on water. My tasks lie in their places where I left them, asleep like cattle. And goodness, in our busy lives, with all our physical zooming about and all our electronic zooming about, don't we need those still moments? Those times when we can put our tasks aside and leave them to sleep like cattle. Another very powerful image of stillness. Sometimes when cattle are sleeping in a rural setting, they can easily be confused with rocks in the landscape. And when Wendell Berry enters this state of stillness, an interesting thing happens. Just as in the mantra from Dune, he faces his fears and permits them to pass over him and through him. And when the fears pass, it's finally possible to hear something else. In the wake of the silence, the poet says, I hear my song at last, and I sing it. At this point, the poet becomes one with the natural landscape, his song a part of the eternal chorus. As we sing, the day turns, the trees move. I first encountered this poem by Wendell Berry, quoted in and woven through Nicholas Lee's rich tapestry of a book, Sabbath. Part theology book, part memoir, part self-help book and all poem, Sabbath is subtitled The Hidden Heartbeat of Our Lives. And it confronts the reader, not always comfortably, with the reality of living in a highly urbanised, technological world. We are so often surrounded by bright city lights, and the natural cycles of daylight and darkness, night and day, are indeed blurred and erased in the city. Our bodies are often cramped and stressed, and our spirits jaded. Though we have a desperate need for rest and relaxation, we also need more than that. We need renewal, which Slee identifies with repairing our connection to the originating sources of nature and the cyclical rhythms of the seasons. Slee's invitation to Sabbath is an invitation to the woods, as a reality, but also as a metaphor for all that is deep and still and potent in us, but so easily smothered by our day-to-day tasks and responsibilities. Not so that we can abandon our responsibilities, but so that we can return renewed and with a deeper understanding of ourselves and our place in the world. We may not be rulers of planets or kingdoms. We may not even have a formal leadership role, but as Unitarians, we make our own decisions on matters of conscience, unconstrained by any religious authority save our own higher selves. And that means that for better or worse, each of us functions as a ruler in our own little kingdom, even if that kingdom is as tiny or as vast as the inside of our mind. We are all called to be good rulers, whether that's of our church community, or our workplace, or our household, or just ourselves. And as Frank Herbert says, a good ruler has to learn his world's language, that it's different for every world. The language of the rocks and growing things, the language you don't hear just with your ears. We can none of us be good leaders if we don't listen to the sounds of our worlds, whether that's the rocks or the trees or our own inner voices. Listening is hard work, but it's necessary work, and there are plenty of worse places to start than by listening to trees.
Time for us to sing our last hymn now. It's number 216 in the Purple Book, Wild Green World. It's not one we sing often, but it's quite a singable tune, so let's give it a go. Hymn number 216. Thank you. thanks to Stephanie for being our guest preacher today. Thanks to Ramona for tech hosting and Charlotte for co-hosting at home. Thanks to Sydney and Peter for the lovely music. And thanks, Liz, she's already gone. She was greeting today and she is doing the coffee. For those who are here in person, do hang around for a chat and coffee if you've time. And if you're online, do stay after the service for a chat with Charlotte if you're able. We have various small group activities during the week, Heart and Soul, our contemplative spiritual gathering. It takes place twice a week. This week's theme is the goddess. And you can email Mandy to sign up for tonight or Alex for Friday. The in-person poetry group is back this Wednesday evening, and it's an opportunity to bring along a favourite poem. Do speak to Brian to find out more. This autumn, we're starting up a community singing group on Wednesday evenings twice a month. There's a local musician who's been running a singing group for about 20 years and is extending his offering to us, a kind of spin-off group. Everyone's welcome. It's free to attend. The first week is Wednesday, the 11th of October at 7 p.m. And the more who come along, the merrier it will be. Sounds like it will be great fun. In just under a fortnight, we have our induction service. That's at 3 p.m. on Saturday, the 14th of October. And this marks the official start of the new ministry, although Jane's been in role for quite a while now. There'll be tea and cake and bunting. Quite a few people have already signed up. We'll have, as of date, 50 people or more in the building and at least 20 people online, so do RSVP if you haven't already. You'll have to let Patricia know. And as always, we're looking for people to help, bake cakes, help with greeting and general helping on the day. So if you can help, do let Patricia know. And also, if you haven't done it already, please send in your induction sentences. An email went round. It might have gone in your junk spam folder. So do check that and send it out by the end of today, if you can. So the congregation, so next week we'll be back with a congregational service, and the theme is Sacred Places, and it will be led by Patricia with reflections by Charlotte, Alex, Pat and Julia. All these details of all these things will be in the Friday email or on the back of your orders of service. The congregation very much has a life beyond Sunday mornings. We encourage you to keep in touch, look out for each other, and do what you can to nurture supportive connections. So that's everything. Just now, time for our closing words and closing music. Our eyes and minds turn now toward the ordinary, leaving this space made sacred by our presence. Take with you at least some seed of understanding, hope, and courage, and drop it into the confusion of the world. Nourish the seed, that it might grow as a tree of life, giving shelter to the weary and hope to the despairing. Be yourself a branch of the tree of life. Amen.